The Off The Ball Podcast Network.
And today, AIB, proud sponsors of both club and county, have been launching their 29th year sponsoring the AIB GAA Club Football and Hurling Championships, and their 7th year sponsoring the Camogie Club Championships. I'm delighted to say we are joined on the line by a man who's probably still revelling in the weekend's successes. It's one Desi Hutchinson. Desi, welcome to the show.
Thanks, William. Thanks for having me.
How have the last 48 hours been for yourself? I'd imagine pretty manic given Ballygunner's success down in Waterford at the weekend.
Yeah, it was. We're still probably trying to get over the small bit, but we were back training Wednesday night and we were okay after that, I suppose.
How was it plugging yourself into that kind of situation, being so, it's less than two years since you've gone from the Brighton first team in terms of soccer to representing Ballygunner in club hurling? What would be the main differences between the setups as you view them?
I suppose just that professional lifestyle of you're going training and you're coming home and you're resting, whereas now you have to go to work, come home, go train and then rest after that. So that's just the big difference of it. But training wise and everything, what we do in Ballygunner is nearly on par with what you'd be doing as a professional.
That seems like a huge ask, because we obviously know the nature of amateur sport and all that kind of thing, but for it to be so all encompassing at a club level is quite the eye opener.
Yeah, it is, but look, that's what it's taken out to be successful. Especially, it's okay winning your Waterford County Championships, but if you want to go that step further, you need to up the everything around the training and recovery. Every little thing matters. So look, we have it all ticked off and hopefully it'll stand to us.
There's a decent culture down there as well though. I mean, that's what, 6 county titles in a row for Ballygunner?
Yeah, that's it. And every year people are getting more hungry and hungry, and it made it easy for me to come in, because you're looking around at these guys and you've lads there after winning 6 in a row and they're motivated as ever to win Waterford again. So it's unreal to be part of that, and long may it continue.
That's almost the antithesis of what you usually hear about clubs or teams of any hue that are successful year in and year out, that there's that talk usually you hear of trying to maintain the hunger and trying to make sure that the next one is still feels like the first. But it doesn't seem to be much of an issue if what you have to say there is true.
Yeah, that's it. And look, a lot of people question, especially in Waterford, a lot of people will question from outside the camp of their hunger. Will they still want to do it again next year? And little things like that drive the team on and the club. So look, we're being really successful at the moment, and the thing about sport is you never know when that's going to end, so we try and enjoy it as much as possible.
It seems like a very player-generated thing, though.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And the good thing, especially this year, you have myself coming in and you have a few minors that are after making the step up to the panel. So there was a few of us in that panel last weekend that had no county medal. So the lads that were after going for their 6 in a row, they wanted to drive it on for us as much as themselves as well, to give us a taste of it.
Did you have a sense of how you were viewed coming back into the side?
Not in Ballygunner, no. At all, because they're my best friends. You're involved with your family, the community itself, you know everybody in it. So not for that, maybe a little bit on the outside, a small bit, but definitely not within the club.
Are you still kind of viewed as the soccer guy from the people on the outside, I guess?
Yeah, everything's former soccer player, whatever it is, but hopefully that'll run off soon.
Like, you're clearly going to have aspirations to working yourself into Liam Cahill's thinking, or am I wrong? Are you going to stick with the football if you're looking towards inter-county? Or would you happily take both if both opportunities arise?
I'm not sure yet. Look, it's a big ask to do both, so I don't think that'll happen, especially with the training that's gone now. But look, I'll be looking to hopefully break into the Waterford hurling setup at some stage, but I know I have to keep performing at club level for that to happen. And being honest, we're just looking at a 6-mile bridge in 2 weeks' time, and whatever happens after that it'll work itself out.
How do you view that challenge in Clare in a couple of weeks' time?
It's going to be very tough, and it's probably something different. The last few years we've had a few good home draws, but to go down there in their backyard, it's going to be a tough task, but one we're really looking forward to, and it's something that we probably haven't done in the last couple of years, but we're really looking forward to going down there.
What will be the main sticking point in trying to get over that hump?
Just everything about Munster Club Championship. You never know what the weather is going to be like. It could be anything. You don't know if it's just going to be a pure battle, whether hurling's going to take over. it could be anything. And obviously you're going down, they're going to have a massive crowd with them, and I think it's on their own club ground, so that's going to be huge, and the atmosphere will be probably a bit hostile compared to what we're used to, but that's something we're looking forward to as well, and these are the challenges you have to embrace. And I'm definitely looking forward to this. My first Munster Championship game, my first real test, so I'm looking forward to giving that a good go.
And, you know, circling around the Six Mile Bridge area is a man who knows a little bit about Waterford hurling as well, so, I mean, they'll be fully informed of what the challenge you're bringing is.
Yeah, exactly, and that's it. Look, they've huge experience on their sideline, on their pitch, within the club, so, look, you only have to look at Davies' experience in other teams and stuff. He's always been successful, so we will be hoping to beat them, but he is definitely a top coach and top manager.
How did you find playing in the football championship last year, Desi?
It was great. It was a new lease of life for me, to be honest. Going into that sort of environment straight away was really good and gave me a taste of what's to come within club championship and everything. So to get that training behind me before I actually went in playing club games was very important as well. I actually didn't play a club game before I went in with Waterford. I played a National League game before I played a club game with my own club, so it was a bit strange, but it definitely got me ready.
I get the sense that you may have needed to dive yourself straight into football action like that with Benji Whelan's team. Is that you may have needed, given all that had gone on at Brighton, that you needed something to, I don't want to say occupy the mind, but at least to give you a certain deal of focus when you came home?
Yeah, definitely did. And at the time, I wasn't working. I was still trying to figure it all out. So that definitely gave a distraction as well as keeping me in top shape and whatever it was. So to dive straight in was really good for me. And exactly as you said, it kept the mind occupied and it helped me into the summer.
Was that the biggest obstacle to coming home? Because, you know, we hear of a lot of kids, a lot of Irish kids who go over to English clubs or go elsewhere, and the biggest thing is, I guess it's that little shortfall in the immediate days, weeks and months after, you know, you either get released or you move on to another club or things move on in your life in a different direction entirely. It's that first step out seems to be the most crucial, and if you don't have the right people around you, if you don't have the right systems around you, if you don't have, you know, good family looking after you, even something as simple as that, then it can go haywire. But you seem to have looked out on that front.
Yeah, definitely. That was the hardest part for me, was definitely coming home and settling for that 3-4 month period where I didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing. And thankfully I had good people around me, people within the GAA clubs, Waterford County Board, managers, whatever it was. So that was really important for me. But as you said, it can kind of go one way or another for people. And thankfully mine, I was straight into keep myself occupied and playing what I love, I suppose.
Like, did you make phone calls ahead of time? Did you have the brothers put in a word for you here and there? How did that kind of work out?
No, I didn't actually. I just decided, I kind of kept it to myself and my family that I wasn't going to be going back to playing soccer as soon as the Irish season finished, like when I finished up playing with Waterford FC. But the Waterford manager, Benji Whelan, gave my brother JJ a ring and asked would I have any interest in coming in, because obviously he would have heard it from me playing when I was younger and stuff. So he just gave me a ring and asked me how would I feel about coming in, and we jumped in.
Did you just kind of lose the love of soccer then?
A small bit. It's different when you come home because the standards are so different. The lifestyle is really different. So it was that, and things were a bit uncertain at Waterford at the time. So I didn't really know where I stood with it. I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to. There was loads of little things that kind of added up that I said, look, I need a career change. I'm not going to leave it till I'm 28, 29. No disrespect to League of Ireland or anything, but you're not going to make enough money or whatever it is to last you when you finish. So for me, it was about hopefully getting back into education as early as possible, rather than being 28, 29 and then having to go back.
The standards thing is an interesting one, because it's something I've heard before from other sources, from people who've come home and have joined League of Ireland clubs, is that they're so used to the framework that's in place in the club they're with over in the UK, that when they come home to a slightly less organised situation, that they can find it hard to deal with, and they find it hard to, I guess, trying to get their head around maybe the attitudes of some of the players. I'm not saying that they're, you know, slack in attitude, but it's just a very different environment to the one you've just left.
Yeah, it is, and that's the biggest thing. Like no matter what, the League of Ireland is never going to compare to the Premier League because of the amount of money that's involved in it, the facilities clubs have, the amount of staff the clubs have. There's, everything is just on a different height over there. So it is. It's no disrespect to League of Ireland clubs, but it's just the way it is. It's the same if you were to go to Scotland or somewhere in Europe, maybe. It's just different. Nowhere's going to compare to the Premier League, but it's just the little things that you come home and you're not... Like, for me, the main issue was I wasn't really playing enough. For me, it was about playing for Waterford and hopefully getting a move back over. Mm. But that wasn't really working for me. And then I kind of started being realistic with myself and thought, well, it's not really going to happen for me.
With that in mind, going over as a 16-year-old, it must be quite the culture shock to be introduced to that kind of environment where everything is so hands-on and everything's almost laid on for you and you're being looked after and you're funneled here and you're funneled there and there's a game every few days and your training, your education, all that kind of stuff is looked after. What was your initial impression of Brighton when you went over there at the age of 16?
That was great. Look, as a 16-year-old, you're living the dream. You have everything you want at your feet and you have the lifestyle. You have, you're training every day. You're finished early. You're going home. You've no college to worry about, anything like that. So it was great, but it slowly kicks in that that's not what you should be looking out for. You should be keeping your head down, working really hard. And that's what I did do, but you need that little bit of luck then to really go to the next stage.
It seems like it's given the amount of young players that are, you know, brought into clubs, not just Brighton, you know, this is, I suppose, at all stages of the Football League in particular and in Scotland as well, just the sheer volume of players in and around there. Give us a sense of how many you would have been in and around in your age group over there.
Well, you might have about 22 players of your own age. So, like, I was only talking about it there a couple of days ago. From my age group over in England, when I went over as a 16-year-old, there's not one player left. And I think it's the same for the year above me. So that just shows how cutthroat it is, like, to not really have any of them left there. I think when I left, there was two left, and then they got released at the end of last season there, so...
That's quite a scary thing for young people who might be listening this evening to hear, is that, you know, there are kids obviously here that would be on the bubble, let's say, who might be getting noticed by scouts, who might be, you know, courted by different clubs, who might, you know, at the end of the day be brought over or invited over to different clubs. You're saying, like, of 22, that many, or that few, sorry, I should say, actually broke through the first team or were kept on from your age group?
Yeah, so there's, from my time at Brighton, there wasn't one player that came through the academy and became a regular in Brighton's first team. So that was 5 years of no player coming through and establishing themselves in the first team. Now there's been a few that have made debuts and played a game here and there, but no one that's actually gone in and is one of Brighton's main players now. So it is scary. I think it's 1 in 99 that makes it into the first team, something like that. So it is a scary thought, and it is something young lads need to keep in their mind when they are going over.
That, yeah, it is. It seems like, as you mentioned there, a pretty cutthroat environment. I know you've mentioned before the differences between, say, a GAA setup and a professional football club setup. It seems that the soccer one would be more of a shark tank, is what it seems like.
Oh yeah, big time. Look, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on, first of all, how you're doing, how you're coping with being in that environment, and then it depends on coaches, managers. Like for me, I had Chris Hughton for a long time there, and unbelievable manager, and I don't think anybody has a bad word to say about him, but he was big on his experienced players, knowing that lads could get the job done. Whereas now there's a new manager at Brighton and he's breeding in 3 or 4 young players. So it all depends on loads of little different things. Mm.
It's heartening to see the likes of Aaron Connolly coming through there. Did you have much interaction with him? I know there's a couple of years in age difference. Did you see much of him as a youngster when he came over from Galway?
Yeah, I did. I was there for 2 years, I think, while he was there. And I was there when he first came over, and I kind of took him in a little bit and showed him around and things like that, make sure he settled in properly. And thankfully he did. And look, you see with the chance he's after getting now, he's flourishing in it. And he deserves that. It's just not many of people like him are getting the chance to do it. And there'd definitely be a lot more players coming through if they were given that chance.
Like, do you see, is it a frustrating thing to watch, and especially having come so close and, you know, made the first team, played a League Cup game, played 120 minutes against Bournemouth? Like, it's got to be frustrating, verging on upsetting, to think that, like, as you mentioned, Chris Hughton, a great manager, but he's going to rely on what he knows and proven commodities, etc. Like, the young players, despite the sheer volume of them, probably in bigger numbers than ever before at each club, aren't necessarily given the chance.
Yeah, that's it. And like, you are really lucky if you are given that chance to go in, and once you get that chance, you really need to take it. But then there's the option of going out on loan, and there is other ways around it, but they're hard to come by as well, because you need people looking at you a lot. And it's just very cutthroat. Like, yeah, there's not many ways to describe it, only that if you're not doing it, you're going to be out there. One manager could fancy it, another might not. It is a strange place.
And even that notion of, you know, people might think that going out on loan is quite a simple thing to possibly pull off. You go to a club that's further down the pecking order, maybe in a different country. You tried to go to St. Mirren, and even that wasn't able to work out for you.
Yeah, and I'm still to this day, I don't know exactly what happened there. I thought it was nail on. I was getting ready to go up there, and next minute it's called off. And that was in January, and in May I was released. So if I had gone up there, you never know what could have happened. It's them little things. And I think it was the last week of the transfer window, then I got injured and I was out of action till April. So then I had 3 weeks to kind of get myself in the shop window and get people to look at me. Now, I'm lucky that Walford here and a couple of other clubs had a little bit of interest in me, but for some players that's not the case, and they're really stuck, and that's why you see so many fall out of them. And like, a lot of people come straight home and then they don't play ever again.
Generally speaking, is there enough support around young players like that?
Probably not, to be honest with you, but I don't know what can be done there. Like, the PFA in England do great work, and there is a lot of open trials for other clubs, but it's just, you are on your own for a lot of the time, and that's just the reality of it. And you know, after a year of being over there, that is the way it is.
It seems like it's an awful lot to put on young shoulders. Like, we often talk about, you know, professional footballers and maturity levels, etc., etc. But, you know, if you're, like, you're still, what, only 22, you turn 23 in December, you've already been through a lot of life just by sheer dint of being over at a club like that. Like, it is an awful lot for a young person who mightn't necessarily have turned 19, 20 to have on their shoulders.
Yeah, it is. And lucky for me, I was able to take it, and it's given me great experience. And I'm probably a better person for it now. But there is a lot of lads that probably don't know how to deal with that. And you see a lot of people falling into, whether, I don't know, it could be depression or little things like that. And it is hard to see, because it is a lot of pressure for lads to go over. And then I think a lot of pressure comes on a lad that has been released, and then he's come home and face everybody asking him what happened. And lucky for me, I had GA, and that was my kind of, I wouldn't say escape, but I knew I had a place there always. Mm. For some lads, they don't have that.
Yeah, the worst thing about it is that some people would view it as failure. I get the sense that you very much don't view it as such. You view this, as you rightly should, as an opportunity to go and do something else. I mean, you're focused on, as you mentioned before, getting your education, sorting out another avenue of life while still being able to play GA. I mean, that's the best of having both worlds, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, exactly. And that's why I decided to do it now and not do it when I'm 28, 29. I know there's nothing wrong with that, but for me, I'm already playing catch up on, say, some of my good friends that are finished their degrees and whatever now. But for me, it's just about getting back into that. I'm loving playing hurling football, so I couldn't be happier at the moment. And I've used the professional football as a great experience, and it's nothing I regret.
What are you doing in college, or what are you looking to do in college?
Hopefully sports science, are going to teaching. One of the two. I'm still trying to figure it out at the moment.
The good thing to tell me about teaching is, Desi, you get the summers off, so you might be able to concentrate on other stuff around then.
Yeah, I heard that already.
Is that part of the reason to kind of look at that, or it's obviously been in the back of your mind as regards your thinking?
Yeah, I look, of course it is, but I think it's just something that'll suit me after dealing with a lot that I've been through while I've been away, and I've done a bit of coaching and similar things kind of move into it. Like, I haven't had that 2 years in school where you get to really know what you're good at, yeah. You know, that kind of way. But I'd like to think I'm good with people and good with kids and coaching and things like that. So that's what I'll hopefully go down to.
Desi, the best start of all is that you've got a decent head on your shoulders. So congrats on that at the very least. And best of luck with everything with Ballygunner in the club championship and the Munster club championship against Six Mile Bridge in a couple of weeks' time.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Desi.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.